September being the earliest that the Canadian Football League could play games, the Grey Cup, Regina edition is a no-go. Touchdown Atlantic is a no-go. A lot of shape-shifting going on with the Canadian Football League. Arash Madani is our expert in so many things, but for today's purposes, we'll bring him in as our CFL expert and insider. For starters, Arash, how are you, man? I haven't talked to you forever. How are you hanging in?
Boom, everything is well. How are you guys doing over there?
Hey, you know what, it's Groundhog Day. We get up, we go to the basement, do the show, and just kind of rinse, repeat. But now we're doing good, man. We're hanging in there. I know that I was seeing some of the feedback yesterday that, good news, the CFL, September, at least it isn't canceled. I have a hard time squinting to find good news for the Canadian Football League. What's your read, I guess, for those that maybe missed it? Ambrosi came out and had a little bit of newsworthy stuff yesterday. Thoughts on what we heard from the commissioner yesterday?
Yeah, you highlighted a few things. Grey Cup in Regina is not happening. The CFL is saying that if they play, they would start in September. Grey Cup could be in December, and basically of the two teams left, whoever has the best record would host a Grey Cup, if it happens. So what they're doing, Boom, is two things. One, they're kicking the can down the road a little bit, so they don't have to whack the season right now. They don't know what the health situation is going to be in August. They don't know what the border is going to be in August, which is when they'd have to get everybody up here to have some kind of training camp, presumably some kind of quarantine, who knows how long it will be by then, and then get things going if they get it going at all. But here's the other thing they've done, is that most CFL teams were existing under the premonition that there were no revenues basically since mid-November. You're like, well, wait a minute, what about all the sponsorship revenue and luxury boxes and season ticket money? Well, all of that would have to be refunded if there's no season. By now coming out and saying, hey, look, there's a chance the season is going, you can effectively keep the majority of your season ticket revenue because you're saying, well, hold on, we may still have half of our home games, and you are now asking people to call in or write in to request refunds, and the hope is a lot of people won't do that. So this is an exercise now for teams that have received some season ticket revenue, and for those who have installments and the last payment is due June 1st, they're able to get some more revenue just to keep the lights on, to keep afloat, to try and keep this thing going as they try and lobby the federal government for more money.
What's your read on that, the government bailout, if you will, going for the $150 million? I know that you've written a lot about it for the website. What's the latest you're hearing from people that you talk to, and I guess just the ask in general in the first place?
Well, I mean, I think right now, it's not that it's in a holding pattern, it's in the process. Here's what happened. When Randy Ambrosi, a couple of weeks ago, I think 2 weeks ago today, testified in front of the House of Commons Standing Committee on Finance, he was ill-prepared. And so when they asked him, well, where are the players? How much are the players going to get in all this? What's your business plan? Ambrosi didn't have an answer for any of that. Now, the CFL, that day they testified with like five or six other organizations, the Royal Conservatory of Music and books and festivals and the rest. Boom, there have been 154 organizations prior to the CFL asking for government money. 154 other organizations were doing the same thing. There were 74 more organizations in the queue as of 2 weeks ago who are waiting on deck to be the next ones to pitch. So by not having those answers, the CFL is effectively now in the back of that second lineup, and they have to wait for everybody ahead of them to go before they come and repitch. So in the meantime, they've spoken with another minister, the Minister of Justice. They continue to speak with MPs. Ambrosi yesterday said they speak with the provinces. But I asked Lisa McLeod, the Minister of Sport and Heritage and Culture in Ontario, I said, well, what about the province of Ontario helping out? And she said, no, that's a federal government issue. And I think the reason why Ontario is significant in this, knowing that I'm talking to people in Alberta, is that three of the nine teams are in Ontario. And so if the provincial government here, if the Minister of Sport is saying it's a federal issue, I have to believe that that there aren't a lot of provinces getting in line with all the asks coming there, saying, sure, we'll write a check for you. So they're, you know, the CFL, I think, is going to get some money. I don't see them getting $150 million. But at this point, they're trying to do whatever they can to get any revenue they can to move forward.
I still, and I guess I'm glass half empty when it comes to this. We were talking to Brian Burke last segment about the NHL and its 24 teams, and it's hard to, I mean, it's hard to wrap your head around that. With so much of this being gate-driven, and like you said, luxury boxes and local sponsorship and that, I just don't see how this is going to work. And even the notion of win best team with the best record, if you make the Grey Cup, you get to host. I mean, Winnipeg's going to host? Edmonton is going to host a Grey Cup if they're the last team standing? How isn't there's is there no talk of a hub out of Vancouver or Montreal, that like an indoor stadium? I just feel like you said, ill-prepared. It feels like they're very ill-prepared or a step behind this entire way.
Well, I think the timing of this is different because of you're talking about a September start. And because of that, you just don't know what the laws of the land are going to be in August. Again, we're in late May right now. So there are 2.5 months before you have to make a decision. And think about how long the last 10 weeks have been. It was about 10 weeks ago Rudy Gobert tested positive and the world came to an end.
Yeah.
Now think about how long this has been. Copy that and paste that. That's how long of a runway is left. And how much has changed in the last 10 weeks? And how much have we learned? And how much do we not know? And how much could happen? That exact length of time is left before the CFL has to make a decision, which 10 weeks doesn't sound like a long time. But in COVID times, man, the last 10 weeks have felt like forever. And I bet with the weather getting better, the next 10 weeks are going to feel like forever, too.
You're right about that, man. I think we do kind of get locked in. We get short-sighted that right now things seem bleak, but they're less bleak now than they were 6 weeks ago. So maybe things do come around.
Perception. That's
yeah.
Our perception right now that they're less bleak. What's going to happen when things open up? Are we going to, now that things are opening up, are we moving ahead? Or are, from a health standpoint and from a case standpoint, are things going to change? We just don't know the answers to these questions.
This has been it'd be difficult for any league commissioner. We're seeing Gary Bettman. We're not hearing a lot from Gary. He's kind of been underground a little bit. You hear him pop up every once in a while. Ambrosi, to this point, I think has been a breath of fresh air. I think kind of has been universally applauded for his work as the commissioner based on the previous two or three commissioners. How do you think he has handled this? Because, again, he's a former player. These are very tough times. How would, if you were going to give a letter grade, I guess, for Ambrosi to this point, what would it be?
Yeah, I don't know. I would say that it's a little too, again, it's a little too early. I can't give a grade, I'd say, because it's just the body of work is incomplete. And having to navigate through this is, you know, unprecedented, difficult, and the rest. But I will say this. What COVID has now done is it has exposed that the business model of the league and the teams is broken. And for a long time, you know, community-run teams were painting a rosier picture than what was actually accurate, and that there were some private owners who were, you know, basically funding a lot of losses. And even last season, before COVID, each team had to spend $600,000 to keep the Montreal Alouettes afloat, because the Wettenhalls threw the keys on the table and Randy Ambrosi either couldn't find an owner or wanted to find the owner that he had handpicked, that he had wanted. So I think what we've learned through all this, Boom, is that we know the virus attacks people with pre-existing conditions the most. I think we're also learning that this virus attacks leagues with pre-existing conditions the most,
yeah,
too.
Appreciate your time, man. I know it's a busy time for you. It's crazy. Are you leaving the house much? Are you doing all your work from home? What's your routine these days?
Yeah, I have a 675 square foot condo. I live in a box in the sky, so I get out for 90 minute walks every day. But beyond that, I'm confined to this. But it, you know what? It's a different way of working, and I found different projects to work on. And I'm actually doing this weird thing called staying home, reading books, and cleaning my place. So
yeah,
all those are trying to find some silver linings, brother.
Yeah, I hear you. Good to talk to you again, Arash. We'll talk again soon, hopefully when things are a little less bleak. Take care of yourself.
You got it, man. You too, boom.
You bet. Arash Badani, no CFL until September at the earliest.